This is a song about vegetables that keep you regular. They're real good for you.
To you.
Some people don't go for prunes. I don't know. I've always found that if they...
Welcome to Your Homegrown Food. I'm your host, Wander Fox. You are listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz 101.1 in Santa Cruz and freakradio.org on the internet. And today's topic on Your Homegrown Food is urban farming. And some other names for that are urban gardening, urban homesteading, or urban agriculture. And according to Wikipedia, urban homesteading is the activity of urban gardening with the purpose of reducing one's impact on the environment. Having an allotment or vegetable patch has been common among those living in the suburbs for a long time, but it is predominantly in recent times that people have attempted to convert their urban green spaces from the purely ornamental to the hobby agriculture, all over the world, from Washington, D.C., via Pasadena, California, to Savager, Norway, people have started finding ways of growing their own food in inner-city urban areas. Also, according to Wikipedia, urban agriculture is the practice of cultivating, processing, and distributing food in or around peri-urban... a village, town, or city, in or around a village, town, or city. Urban agriculture, in addition, can also involve animal husbandry, aquaculture, agroforestry, and horticulture. These activities also occur in peri-urban areas as well. Urban farming is generally practiced for income-earning or food-producing activities through, in some communities, the main inputs, urban farming is generally practiced for income earning or food producing activities. Through some communities, the main inputs are recreation and relaxation. The main impetus is recreation and relaxation. Urban agriculture contributes to food security and food safety in two ways. First, it increases the amount of food available to people living in cities, and second, it allows fresh vegetables and fruits, meat products, to be made available to urban consumers. A common and efficient form of urban agriculture is the biointensive method, because urban agriculture promotes energy-saving local food production. Urban and peri-urban agriculture are generally seen as sustainable practices. The recognition of environmental degradation within cities through the relocation of resources to serve urban populations has inspired the implementation of different schemes of urban agriculture across the developed and developing world, from historic models such as Machu Picchu to designs for new productive urban farms. The idea of local agriculture in the city takes on many characteristics, which is true. There are a lot of people doing a lot of different cool things with urban agriculture. I heard of one recent example in Egypt. The host of the Arduck show saw someone raising chickens and a sheep on the roof of a relatively tall city building. So I suppose that would be considered one form of urban agriculture. People are finding ways of growing and producing their own food regardless of the amount of space they have, which is very cool. There are a lot of different ways to practice urban farming and gardening. On an individual level, people all over the country are producing food in whatever space they can. The smallest scale urban gardening is in containers or hydroponically indoors. There are people who live in apartments or houses with no yard who are very creative and resourceful. One woman created a way to grow food using mostly supplies found in her recycling bin. She grows hydroponically in her window. I put a link to a video of her explaining how you can also create this type of food production. If you're interested, go to Facebook, and my page is Your Homegrown Food Show, and there's a link to her her video, which is really neat. If you have no outdoor space, no porch or anything, and you'd like to have food growing at your home, then check that out. And you can, well, I guess you need a sunny window. You can try her hydroponic technique for growing veggies. And the next step up in, I guess, size or availability of space is gardening on a porch or a sunny staircase or some area like that at your home. And if you're interested in learning the best ways to grow food in a very, very small space, I would like to recommend two books that can help you do this. Or if you'd just like to read more about producing food in a very, very small space, I recommend Incredible Vegetables from Self-Watering Containers Using Ed's Amazing Pot System, Portable Organic Trouble-Free Secret Soil Formula by Edward C. Smith. Great book. If you're going to grow in containers, I highly recommend self-watering containers. That's definitely the way to grow food if you don't have any ground space that you can grow in. And the other book that I really, really like and highly recommend for any urban farmer or gardener is Fresh Food from Small Spaces, The Square Inch Gardener's Guide to Year-Round Growing, Fermenting, and Sprouting by R.J. Rupenthal. And I'll just read you a tiny bit from his book here. This book is a practical guide to growing food for city residents with small spaces. It provides you with the knowledge and skills necessary to produce food from your own fresh vegetables and fruits, mushrooms, sprouts, fermented foods, and small livestock. Even if you have no yard and very little free space, you can produce a variety of fresh food. Using the information in this book, I believe that anyone living in a typical city apartment, condominium, townhouse, or single-family home could apply just two or three of the strategies mentioned in this book and grow up to 10 to 20% of their own fresh food. This may sound impossible, but it's very achievable by using a combination of traditional methods and innovative space-saving techniques. At the end of the day, you may even have enough eggs, spinach, blueberries, or gourmet mushrooms to share or trade the excess with neighbors. In short, this book is about using every square inch of your available space to create a fresher, more sustainable lifestyle. Very cool. And The options for urban farming are almost limitless if you have a bit of space to work with. Urban farmers are not just gardening, not just growing veggies in their backyard or raising chicken, but they are also raising chickens and bees and sometimes even goats. If you are interested in this size urban farming, some resources I recommend are, first, my favorite gardening book that I've talked about before, Golden Gate Gardening, The Complete Guide to Year-Round Food Gardening in the San Francisco Bay Area and Coastal California. And the author is Pam Pierce. And I absolutely love this book because there's a lot of detail, but she's talks specifically about gardening in this area, which has a very unique climate and microclimates. So if you would like to do some urban gardening in the Northern California coastal area, definitely check out her book. It's, yeah, I love it. I use it all the time. Highly recommend it. And I also love a magazine called Urban Farm, Sustainable City Living. That's a great magazine. It's new. They've only put out three editions of the magazine so far, but there's lots of cool information, and it's kind of a community thing. You just get an idea of what everybody's doing. Anybody who is doing some kind of urban farming or urban homesteading, yeah, it's neat. It's a really good magazine. I highly recommend that. And then, if you're just getting started with urban gardening, then I recommend the book All New Square Foot Gardening by Mel Bartholomew. He has a very specific way of gardening, but I think it's a really good book for beginner gardeners. It's just really, and if you don't want to put a lot of time into your garden, but you still want to have a garden, I would suggest following his methods. They make vegetable gardening very simple and approachable. So I like his techniques. If you've been gardening for a while and you want to put more time and energy into your vegetable garden, then you might want to go beyond what he recommends in his book, but I definitely think it's a good way to get started. If you'd like to grow food in the ground but don't have the space, then a community garden would be a good bet. So you can check out communitygarden.org, and there's also sharing backyard people's yard space. So for that, you can look at sharingbackyards.com and hyperlocavore.ning.com. And those websites are also on my Facebook page, Your Homegrown Food Show. And also I put a link to all the books I mentioned on there. You can get a community garden or share someone's yard who has extra space. That's a great way to do some urban gardening or farming if you don't have your own space. On a larger scale, there are some people doing some really interesting stuff that I wanted to tell you about. I found this article recently called Mayor's Agriculture Plan Soon to Bear Fruit. So I have a few more minutes in the show, so I guess I'll read you some of this article. Vegetable gardens will soon be sprouting in unlikely places throughout San Francisco, including a building that produces steam to heat the Civic Center, Department of Public Works land in the Bayview, outside McLaren Lodge in Golden Gate Park, and at San Francisco Police Academy in Diamond Heights. The public library has installed gardens outside its Mission and No Valley branches with plans for more, and is leading classes for teens on how to cultivate them. And the city may soon adopt proposals from private groups to install easy-to-assemble chicken coops in its gardens and send mobile vegetable markets to school, pickup zones, and other busy destinations. It's all the result of Mayor Gavin Newsom's executive directive 8 months ago to reshape how San Franciscans think about food and choose what to eat. urban agriculture is about far, far more than growing vegetables on an empty lot, Newsom told the Chronicle. It's about revitalizing and transforming unused public spaces, connecting city residents with their neighborhoods in a new way, and promoting healthier eating and living for everyone. Newsom unveiled the unusual plan in July. His directive required that all city departments conduct an audit of unused land, including empty lots, windowsills, median strips, and rooftops that could be converted into gardens. He also demanded that food vendors that contract with the city offer healthful food and that vending machines on city property do the same. He required that farmers markets accept food stamps, though some already did. He also put a stop to donuts and other junk food at city meetings and conferences. The plan was deemed silly by some who said it shouldn't be a priority for the cash-strapped city, but Newsom remains adamant there are long-term benefits to urban agriculture. There's no better preventative medicine and no easier way to reduce health care costs for the long term than teaching our residents and our children to eat healthier, he said, pointing to First Lady Michelle Obama's White House garden as proof it's a matter of national concern. Newsom today will break ground on a new garden at a steam powerhouse owned by the Department of Public Works at McAllister and Larkin Street, and the food grown at the farm will go to volunteers who help care for it. Several other gardens have recently gone up or soon will. The library is eyeing gardens at seven more branches. The city is partnering with a variety of private groups and nonprofits to build individual gardens, and it's mostly those groups that are picking up the tab for seeds and other supplies. The Department of the Environment has started an urban gleaning program to teach people how to plant fruit trees, supply local food pantries with fresh food, and manage a listserv for those interested in urban agriculture. Sales at San Francisco's farmers markets to those using food stamps increased 85% last year. The Public Health Department this summer will begin hosting cooking classes at the Alameny and Fillmore Farmers Market. A project is underway to ensure the food served at the San Francisco Juvenile Probation Department is locally grown and nutritious. The city also helped launch a competition last fall seeking innovative designs related to urban agriculture and is likely to begin using some of the favorites. They include chicken cribs, billed as the quick and easy self-assembly urban chicken coop, and mobile markets, carts stocked with produce that can easily be taken to any busy locale. Astrid Harriotti, the mayor's greening director, said the food grown on city property will either be given at low or no cost to neighbors or distributed to local farmers markets. But she noted there's a benefit beyond healthful food, a more beautiful landscape. It's not only about feeding mouths, she said. It's about feeding the soul and feeding the pride of San Francisco urban dwellers. Yay. And let's see. The other article I found that talks about some people doing some cool urban farming. The article's called Six Stories Above Queens, A Fine Spot for a Little Farming. The stretch of Northern Boulevard near 36th Street in Long Island City, Queens, is about as far from bucolic as it gets. Old industrial buildings loom, traffic whizzes by, car dealerships line the street. Off in the distance, Manhattan's skyscrapers glitter, the trains rumble, and the closest thing to a meadow is a small patch of plants the Parks Department has named Triangle 37. But six stories up on the roof of one of those buildings, an ambitious farm began to take shape on Thursday, called Brooklyn Grange. The group behind it settled on the name before they settled on their borough. It will grow tomatoes, peppers, eggplants, and leafy greens amid the air conditioning units that water tower perched on the 40,000 square foot roof. Rooftop farms have been appearing recently across New York and the nation, but few have the scope of Brooklyn Grange, a for-profit venture started by Ben Flanner, a transplant Wisconsinite, and the operators of Roberts Roberta's, a popular restaurant that has become something of a farm-to-table clubhouse in Bushwick, Brooklyn. The group plans to sell its vegetables selected for their ability to thrive in the sunny, windy conditions of an open city roof, from a stand at the farm and to a few restaurants. But any garden is only as good as its dirt. In this case, almost 1 million pounds of roof light intensive and engineering soil mix that contains no actual soil. All day, a crane hoisted bag after enormous bag of the medium, each weighing more than a ton, up from the street at 3718 Northern Boulevard. After slicing open the bags and emptying them into bins perched atop motorized buggies, workers ferried the mix over and over again, making hundreds of trips to the other side of the roof, where another group spread it out 8 inches deep over layers of roof barrier, felt, and drainage material developed to minimize the need to water and protect the skin of the roof. This is the second roof farm for Mr. Flanner, who was far too busy checking soil depth, overseeing his largely volunteer crew, and addressing concerns of the building's owner to speak to a reporter. Last year, he ran a 6,000-square-foot pilot project in Greenpoint, Brooklyn, to see if a roof farm could work as a business, but he needed the larger space to turn a profit in the long term. After a plan for a 25,000-square-foot space fell through, Mr. Flanner and his group found Jeff Rosenblum and Acumen Capital Partners, which had been planning to plant the top of the Long Island City building since Mr. Rosenblum bought it a few years ago. "I guess it was really one step beyond what we were trying to accomplish," said Mr. Rosenblum, who hoped the plantings would increase the office building's energy efficiency and the lifespan of its roof. Well into Thursday afternoon, the flurry continued, with buggies whizzing by precariously as workers unfurled more bedding material in anticipation of the 9,000 seedlings at Roberta's awaiting their transplants, starting as soon as this weekend. Many on the crew, a largely young and earnest group of the partner's friends, had learned most of their skills on this job. "It's really nice to be a part of something that's really just positive," Chris Kent, a filmmaker who had been working since 8 a.m., said during the lunch break, describing himself as someone with a black thumb. "There's not a lot like this that's going on." Jesus Rojas, the building superintendent, surveyed the action and shook his head, adding, "Only in New York, right?" Very cool. And I have one more urban agriculture clip I'd like to play you. I've talked about Will Allen before, of Growing Power in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and he was on ABC News, and if I can, I'll play you a little clip I have here of that. Gosh, my computer's not working so well at the moment. I guess I can just read you this article instead. Will Allen is a towering figure in his Milwaukee, Wisconsin field, working as a farmer, missionary, and coach. He preaches the gospel of good food grown in the heart of the city. "Our new farmers will not come from rural America," Allen said. As president of the nonprofit organization Growing Power, Allen promotes urban farming among diverse groups in the inner city. "Farming is in his blood. Farming is in Allen's blood. Allen's parents worked as sharecroppers in South Carolina. Allen, 61, grew up on a small farm in Maryland. He played pro basketball in his 20s and then toiled in the corporate world. Then 18 years ago, he spotted a tiny five-acre farm, the last one left in Milwaukee. There was a sign for sale for this place, and something made me stop," Allen said. Now Allen and 40 farmhands grow 160 different crops in solar-powered greenhouses. They also raise fish and house a full barnyard of animals. "We grow enough food to feed 10,000 people," Allen said. So that's another urban farmer who's doing some really cool stuff. So you can find a link to all the things I talked about on the show today at my Facebook page, Your Homegrown Food Show, including these stories that I just read from, and a link to all the books that I talked about and all the websites that I gave you. What else can I say? I guess we're coming to the end of the show. If you'd like to get any more information, like I said, go to my Facebook page, Your Homegrown Food Show. You can become a fan. I don't know, like my radio show on Facebook. And then you can get all of my updates as they happen. I often put things, obviously, that I talk about on the show, but also other things that I find interesting that have to do with food. Specifically, the alternative food movement. So healthy food, growing food, whatever kind of stuff's going on with the government related to food, anything that I think is interesting that people are doing, producing food or things having to do with our food system. So check that out, Your Homegrown Food Show on Facebook. And if you'd like to, send me any suggestions you have for topics you'd like to hear on this show, or you'd like to ask me a question, or you would like to be a guest on my show, or you have an idea for some music that has to do with food that you'd like me to play on the show, or anything else, you can contact me at yourhomegrownfood@gmail.com, or you can go to my website, yourhomegrownfood.com. And you can also shoot me a message on Facebook through my Facebook page, Your Homegrown Food Show. Or you can also call into the station. Let's see, the phone number here at Free Radio is 427-3772, where you can be on the air with me. You can also send your donations to Free Radio, because this is an all-volunteer-run station. We do not receive any money from corporations, or we don't do any pledge drives or anything like that. So if you'd like to make a donation, send your donation to FRSC, P.O. Box 7811, Santa Cruz, California 95061. And the station would appreciate that. Also, if you'd like to be a programmer on this station, you can certainly do that. Check out the website, freakradio.org. And you can see the schedule of all the programs that happen on this station. And what else can I say? Tune in next week for Your Homegrown Food, which happens every Wednesday from 11:30 to 12. And I'm your host, Wander Fox, and this is Free Radio Santa Cruz 101.1 and freakradio.org. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in, and I will speak with you again next week. Bye-bye.
How would you like your water filtered?
Like this?